Open your Bibles, please, to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. Our scripture is found verses 11 through 15. Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down, and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Father, we thank you for your word, and pray that you would use this portion of scripture to minister to our hearts and to exalt our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. In August of 1977, John Everingham, who was an Australian journalist living in Laos, was expelled by the communists from that country after having been more than 10 years there. And he had to leave his girlfriend behind. For 10 months, John planned how he would rescue his girlfriend, Kiao. Then on May 27th, John set out on his mission of rescue. He outfitted himself with mask and fins and a scuba tank fitted with two breathing devices. He plunged into the rain-swollen waters of the Mekong River. He had a compass glued to his mask because underneath the waters, the visibility was zero. He had to battle the currents, at times even crawling on the muddy bottom. And when he surfaced, he found that he was not only still several hundred meters offshore, but that he had been carried way past the spot where she was sitting, waiting, with a fishing pole in her hand and a child alongside in order to take away any suspicion of her being there. Exhausted, he had to swim back to the other side again and rest. And then he tried it again, but he started out further upstream so that the currents would carry him closer to where she was. The second time, he made it. He crawled out on the bank and noticed that she had given up. He noticed in the distance she was walking away with the child. He hollered at the top of his voice. She saw him and came back, running, and fell into his arms. He quickly placed upon her a little inflated life vest because she didn't know how to swim, put one of the breathing regulators into her mouth, and with their faces just above the surface of the water and a quick-release strap binding them together, they pushed into the hard current and struggled to gain the other side. Finally, they made it. And as we think of this heart-rending situation, we're reminded of another one who, out of his love for his chosen bride, came to where she was in captivity, braving the waters of death and the forces of hell. He too was successful in his mission of mercy, and thanks be to God, we are this morning able to say, praise God, he has made me his own. If you are a Christian this morning, if you are in Christ through faith, then you can say, praise God, he has rescued me. We see here in this portion of Scripture that we read this morning an example, a Scripture example, of Christ's rescuing one of his own for himself. As Paul and Silas and their other company, Luke was with them, and Timothy, took ship, going across over to Philippi in answer to the vision that God had given to Paul, we see here God working a marvelous work of salvation in the heart of Lydia. We'd like to note here three things in this marvelous work that God did that morning alongside the river. Three things regarding biblical salvation. The first thing we want to note is the source of biblical salvation. Notice that the source of biblical salvation is God. First of all, it's the workings of God. We noticed before how God gave Paul a vision, marvelous vision, of a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. It wasn't that Paul just decided of himself, well, let's see now, where would be another good place to preach? God intervened, calling Paul, directing him specifically to the place where he wanted him to preach the word of God. Salvation is of the Lord, in the direction given to the messenger. We find that salvation is of the Lord in the hunger of Lydia. We read here that she worshipped God. Here was a woman who was seeking God, desiring after God. God had placed in her heart a hunger for himself. And not only that, we find here that he opened her heart to attend to the things that Paul was saying. Paul couldn't say here, well, I really preached with logic and fervor this morning. No, Paul had to admit that God opened the heart of this woman. And I confess that many times, as preachers, God blesses most our worst sermons. For some reason or other, he chooses to use his word whenever he desires. And we can't say that God worked in a special way because we had preached with some special fervor. God gives unction for preaching, and God blesses his word in his own way, in his own time, and brings forth fruit. And God was pleased to work here. And we are told, whose heart the Lord opened. Now, anybody can get decisions, even the false cults. Have you wondered why they are so numerous and plentiful, and they advertise their statistics of how they are growing and the increasing number of converts? Anybody can get decisions, which is what they get. But God has to open the heart. And praise God, he does. God does open the heart. The source of biblical salvation is the working of God. But there's something else here. The source of biblical salvation is, first of all, the working of God. But God joins something else here to it. It's also the obedience of Christians. Paul went. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And he went. And he went to Philippi, and he went down by the river, and he preached the word of God to those who were alongside the river. Paul couldn't save Lydia, but Paul could preach the gospel. And God used the preaching of the gospel through Paul. And that's why God said to his disciples, the Lord Jesus, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, ye shall be my witnesses. In Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When Carrie sensed the call of God to go out and preach to those in India, many made fun of him and said, you don't expect to go out there and convert those raw heathen, do you? And Carrie said, no, I don't. But I expect that God will. And Carrie went. And God did. Not in India, in Burma. But God led him to the place he wanted him, and opened many hearts. And God does that. God opens hearts, but He also sends Christians. At the back of the church, we have a tract rack full of Gospels of John and other tracts. It doesn't empty out as rapidly as we would like to see it. And we'd like to encourage you that although God is the one who opens hearts, that God is also the one who sends Christians. And I'd like to challenge you to ask God to enable you by His grace to give away one Gospel of John a week or other tract that you find back there that you think might be especially appropriate for some individual. To give away one a week. God opens hearts, but God sends Christians. And are we willing to pray this morning, God, send me and use me to give away one piece of gospel literature this week? Now, you can give 10 or 20 if you want to. There's no restriction. I'll clue you. If you think we're going to run out, you're wrong, because we have a whole box of these Gospels of John. And so we're not going to run out. And so if you feel like taking two handfuls, you take two handfuls. But covenant small. Promise God one. And then you can give 20 if you want to. Don't promise Him 20. Promise Him one. And then give 20 if you want to. But promise God, Lord, by Your grace, one a week. There are many ways of giving it away, sending it away, leaving it. If the tip is a dollar, it makes a nice bill holder. You stick the dollar in the Gospel of John and leave it. While back, I was walking down the street, and a man stopped me, and he said, do you have a cigarette? I said, no, I don't. And I continued walking, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, I had something better than a cigarette. Gospel of John. So I quick went back, and I said, here's something better than a cigarette. He looked at me and said, I don't believe it. I don't know what he meant by that, but we're trusting God that He'll read it and that God will use it to speak to His heart. And so, salvation. The source of biblical salvation is God. God opens the hearts, but God also sends Christians. Secondly, the witness of biblical salvation. We see here that the witness of biblical salvation is baptism. We see that Lydia had a willingness to be baptized. The Scriptures tell us, believe and be baptized. And a person who is not willing to be baptized had better check to see whether or not he's actually believing. But because the command is, believe and be baptized. Now, baptism does not save. A person can't just come in and be baptized and say, now I know I'm saved because I'm baptized. No. The command is, believe and be baptized. Salvation is by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But the public witness of salvation and the public commitment to the local body of believers is baptism. We read in the book of Acts that the believers there were baptized and joined to the other disciples. It was handy. They were meeting right by the river. In Chile, we baptized in the river sometimes and sometimes in the swimming pools when we didn't have a baptistry in the churches, but it doesn't matter. The important thing is that you get buried with Him by baptism. Jesus referred to His death and resurrection as a baptism. And so willingness to be united with Jesus in baptism is the witness of biblical salvation. And not only a willingness to be baptized, but a readiness to be baptized. We see here that she was also ready. She indicated readiness. Not just a personal willingness, but an obvious readiness. We see here that she attended to those things spoken by Paul. Now, those verbs are all in the present tense. She was hearing us and she was attending to. That shows customary behavior. She showed that she was ready to be baptized because you couldn't keep her out of church. And a person who claims that he's a Christian and has the problem that any little thing can keep him out of church, even if he has a willingness to be baptized, doesn't show a readiness to be baptized. She attended. She was hearing and was attending to those things that Paul was saying. And when she was baptized, she said, "If you have judged me to be faithful." In other words, she recognizes that they had judged her to be faithful. There was a time there in which they were able to appreciate in her life a very definite faithfulness, and that she was ready to be baptized. And so readiness to be baptized is seen by a desire to hear and to attend unto the preaching of the Word of God. So the witness of salvation is baptism, a willingness and a readiness. And the work of God then is publicly evidenced by the waters of baptism. And then thirdly, we see here the fruit of biblical salvation. Biblical salvation results in fruit, and first of all, the fruit of testimony. Notice here that by the time she was baptized, we don't know how long it was, maybe a few weeks. By the time she was baptized, she also had won those of her household. Did you notice that? It says here, when she was baptized and her household. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that there were babies here being baptized. In fact, we have no indication she was even married. We have indication that she was engaged in commercial activities. And it's more likely that her household were her servants and her co-workers in this business of selling of purple dye. And so we see the exciting thing that within this brief span of time of her conversion, she was used of God to bring those of her household also to saving faith in Jesus Christ. The fruit of biblical salvation. She had a good testimony and was used of God to bring to salvation others of her household. And this then is the fruit of biblical salvation, a witness for Jesus Christ, a testimony for Him. And a person who has no testimony for Jesus Christ is not giving any evidence that he really belongs to Jesus Christ. But as biblical salvation grips the heart of a person, as a person is genuinely saved, there is that witness and that testimony. And praise God, He uses that testimony. I was excited in reading in the book that we're studying this month for the men's breakfast, the Divine Inspiration of the Bible by Pink. He gives an example here of how God uses the testimony of a believer. And many times we don't even see how God does this. He mentions that some 40 years ago, a Christian gentleman stood upon the dock of Liverpool distributing tracts to the sailors. In the course of his work, he handed one to a man who was just embarking on a voyage to China. And with an oath, the sailor took it, crumpled it up, and thrust it into his pocket. Some 3 weeks later, this sailor was down in his cabin. He needed something to light his pipe with, and he pulled out this piece of paper. And when he saw what it was, he tore it into shreds. But in tearing it into shreds, his hand had tar on it. One of the shreds stuck to his hand. And he looked down, and there were the words on that one little shred of paper, "Prepare to meet thy God." Pink tells how he talked to this man. The man who gave him the tract, to this day, we don't know that to this day this man even knows what happened to that tract. But Pink heard the testimony of this man. And he said, hour after hour, this sailor walked up and down, paced up and down. He couldn't sleep as those words thundered through his mind, "Prepare to meet thy God, prepare to meet thy God." And he said, "How can I prepare to meet God when I'm so powerless to overcome my besetting sins?" Finally, he got down on his knees and cried, "Oh God, have mercy on me, save me from my sins, and deliver me from the power of drink, and help me to prepare for meeting thee." 35 years later, this converted sailor told Pink his testimony of how God had saved him. And so we don't know what God is going to do with that Gospel of John or that tract that we will give out. We might never know this side of glory, what God will do with it. But there is this assurance that the fruit of biblical salvation is testimony, and God uses that testimony. And not only testimony, but service. Not only did God use her to win others to Christ that were baptized with her, but also service. She gave her home. Notice she says, if you have judged me to be faithful, come into my house and abide there. And her house became a center of gospel activity. Notice in verse 40, after Silas and Paul were released from jail, they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. That was the place where church was held. That was the place where the brethren gathered. This was a center of religious activity there in the house of Lydia. And so she desired to be useful in the work of God. And I praise God this morning for each of you and your commitment to God, your desire to work for God and to serve God and to be used of God and to give of your time and efforts and energy to carry on the work of God. What a blessing that is to me. As I go through this prayer list praying for each of you, it's a joy to me as I think of each one of the ministry that you're doing, the way in which you are giving yourself to serve God. And this is exciting. Just as Lydia here said, won't you use my house? Come to my house and stay there and use it for the service of God. What a joy this is. Now, she could have made all kinds of excuses. Oh, you know, I would like to make my house available, but, you know, as a seller of purple with my business, I have a very heavy schedule, so I would like to do that, but I really can't because of my heavy schedule. Or she could have said, you know, well, now I'm not really from this area. I'm from Thyatira. And so not being really from this area, it might be better if somebody that really is a native here would do that. All kinds of excuses that Lydia could have used. But all excuses aside, she said, I will do that which I can to further the gospel message. And you notice what she says, what it says here? And she constrained us. Isn't that exciting? This wasn't a half-hearted offer. You know, well, if you really need someplace, I suppose, you know, I could find some way of carrying on my business anyway, and we'll make some kind of arrangements. You know, if you really need it, you can use my house if you want to. It wasn't the way it was. She constrained us. She said, won't you please? I really want you to. I want to make my house totally available to you. She constrained us. That's exciting. When you don't have to twist people's arm, but they're coming out and saying, you know, can't I help? Won't you let me help? My, that's a thrill. I remember I wasn't a Christian very long myself. And I was at college and carrying on practical work. I was in charge of either speaking at the jail or getting a speaker. And since I wasn't too, I was kind of young in the Lord, I was finding troubles getting that many messages together all the time. And besides, I wanted to give opportunity to others. And so every now and then I'd ask somebody else, you know, would you come and speak at the jail on Saturday? And, you know, it was kind of discouraging sometimes. It seemed like everybody had something else to do. Except one young man. He was the joy of my heart. I had to be careful how much I asked him because he would never turn me down. And not only would he never turn me down, but he would smile and say, thank you for allowing me the privilege of having a part in the work of God. Wow. Praise God. This is the kind of response that Paul got from Lydia. He says, she constrained us. She wanted to help so badly. She not only was willing to help. She said, if it's got to be done, okay, I'll do it. She was eager to help. She begged us to let her help. That has to be a blessing. Praise God. When it's so hard today in our day. You know, I constantly read this all the time. Read it in periodicals and hear it from people of other churches. It's so hard to get people to do anything today. And I think of Lydia. And praise God. She constrained us. Won't you let me help? I want to help. And not only that, this wasn't a one-time thing. She committed herself to continued faithfulness. She said, if you have considered me to be faithful, come to my house. In other words, what she's saying here is, you have seen my faithfulness, so come to my house. That means that I'm not saying come to my house this week, or this month, or even this year. You have seen my faithfulness. You come to my house as long as you want to be there. That's commitment. Sometimes you can get people to do something once, maybe even twice. But week after week, month after month, year after year, that's another story. Lydia says, you have seen my faithfulness. Come to my house. She was willing to commit herself to continued faithfulness. You can count on me. And so the fruit of biblical salvation is the desire to witness for Christ and to serve Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus one day had people gathered around him, and he said to one man, follow me. The man said, let me first go and bury my father. His father wasn't even dead yet. In other words, let me go and wait till my father dies and bury him, and then if there's any time left, I'll follow you, Lord. The Lord Jesus said to another man, follow me. He said, I just bought a team of oxen and I have to go test them. Can you imagine testing the oxen after you buy them? That has to be a pretty weak excuse. If they're no good, you've already bought them. In fact, you might be happier if you don't test them right away. Just a weak excuse. And you know, it's so easy to bring to God weak excuses. Talking to a pastor recently, said that he was challenging a man in his church to a certain commitment. And that commitment was going to take a couple of hours a week of his time. And the man was a businessman. And he said, Pastor, I'd love to do that, but I really don't have time. My schedule is so full. I really don't have time. This pastor said to the man, Brother, he said, that's fine. I don't want to load you on with too much. We want you to take proper care of your family, meet the needs of your wife and children, so we don't want to load you down. But will you do me a favor? He says, will you take a piece of paper and write down the days of the week on each sheet of paper, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then write down the time frames there. And during this week, list what you do all week long. 9 o'clock you did this, 10 o'clock this, 11, 12, what you do all day long. In other words, to give yourself an idea of how you spend your time this week. Sure, I'll do that. So he did. The next week he came to the pastor and he said, Pastor, I didn't realize how much time I was wasting. He says, in fact, he said, I didn't think I was even spending much time watching TV. An occasional, you know, a ball game or maybe some good program, the news. He says, do you know? I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't done it myself and kept track myself. He said, do you know that I spent 30 hours last week watching television? But he didn't have time. He didn't have 2 hours for God. And it's so easy for us to get our priorities all out of place. We don't want anybody to shirk their family. Provide for their own, their wife and their children. Sometimes we have to really examine our priorities. because the fruit of biblical salvation is witness for God and service of God. Salvation is the work of God. When God has done His work, the one who is saved wants to work. And the person who doesn't want to work for God needs to examine his heart to see if he has really experienced the work of God. You know, the verse we use most commonly for salvation, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we don't want to touch salvation with works. You know what the next verse is? But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. You can't do one single thing to gain your salvation. But if you're saved, you're going to work your head off for God. Because God has planned from eternity past a whole workload for you. And it's yours. And He has planned it just for you. You can't work to get saved. But if you're saved, you're going to work. God opened Lydia's heart. She repented, believed the gospel. The evidence, she wanted to be baptized. She was ready to be baptized. She witnessed and she served. Father, we thank You for the gospel message. We tried for many years to gain our salvation by our works. What a frustrating experience. And the harder we worked, the farther we knew we were from heaven. We thank You, Father, that salvation is of the Lord. And as You opened Lydia's heart, many of us can testify here this morning of how You opened our heart and brought us to Yourself. And now we desire to serve You with all of our heart and all of our strength, and praise You for the privilege of doing so. And thank You, Father, for the clear instruction of Scripture. Grant to us grace to walk in those works that You have foreordained that we should walk in them. Thank You, Father, for each one here. Thank You for the many ways in which they are demonstrating that God has worked in their hearts. Grant that this morning also might be a time in which we examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. Before we close the service this morning, we're going to sing a song in a minute. I'd like to throw out a challenge to you. In the pews, in most of the pews, there's paper or envelopes or something, or maybe a paper in your Bible. If this morning God has spoken to you in a special way, you say, I need to get more involved. And you'd like to take a piece of paper and write your name on it and say, by God's grace, I want to make myself available for 1 hour a week or 2 hours a week. Whatever it is that you feel God would have you do in your schedule to serve. Would you do that? And on the way out, hand it to me. Or tonight, after the service tonight, hand it to me. There are still things that can be done in our church. In spite of all the faithful workers, there are still things that need to be done. Are you willing to say, God, by Your grace, I'm going to get involved? Maybe just more than I am, or maybe beginning. Would you do that? Perhaps you've never really been saved. And as the Spirit of God has examined your heart this morning, you'd like to take that piece of paper and put your name on it and hand it to me and say, this morning, it was more than just committing my time. This morning, I realized that I need Christ. I need to be saved. And by His grace this morning, I'm trusting Him as my Savior. Would you do that? Father, we pray that You would, by Your Spirit, accomplish in our hearts and lives this day all of Your good purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.